When my husband Joe moved in with me in my little house in San Anselmo 17 years ago, he brought with him his portable jacuzzi spa. As Marin cliche as this is, there's always been a hot tub in our backyard since. They are just one of the great things, along with, of course, Black Labrador boy dogs, that came along with my sweetheart. Most nights, just before bed, I wrap myself in a towel and go outside into the dark and slip my bare body into the warm water. I leave the jets off so it's still and quiet. The temperature is just right, warm enough that it feels really good, but not so hot that I have to get used to it. It's heaven. It warms me to my bones so I can crawl into bed with a really warm body and can fall asleep right away. I don't know about you, but if I'm cold when I go to bed, especially if it's my feet for some reason, I just cannot get to sleep. While I'm soaking, I gaze up at the night sky. Most nights seem to be clear around here, so I can almost always see the stars. Sometimes I can pick out the Big Dipper, pretty much the only constellation that I can easily recognize. Now and then a plane goes by, and I imagine the human beings up inside it, most likely headed to SFO. Part of the month, the moon is up and full enough to cast shadows in the backyard. It's a special time. I'm alone and really present to being alive on our little planet, amidst a vast universe beyond my comprehension. I feel small in the very best way. There's something about this time I spend out there in the dark that reframes my challenges and worries. It has me feel both insignificant in the grand scheme of things and very precious at the same time. The ways in which I worry if I do enough to further the causes of good settle down, and I can be happy that I get to appreciate beauty and make art and have people in my life who love me and who I love too. I'm also really embodied. It's intensely pleasurable to be submerged in warm water, breathing cool air, and I cannot help but be aware of how good it feels to be incarnate. I read a post a couple of weeks ago written by a treasured person in my world. Betsy and I met at the Sausalito Art Festival 2 or 3 years ago, and she showed up the very next Friday to paint with us. She and I now belong to each other. Since the early part of the year, Betsy has been on a road trip to follow the wildflowers from the Mexican border to Alaska. She takes absolutely exquisite photographs of the flowers and landscapes along her way and posts them, along with her always perceptive, often funny, and sometimes provocative thoughts at thesouloftheearth.com. This post was called Wayside Beauty, where she shares the magnificent scenery that she passes as she drives her truck and trailer along the highway, stunning photos included. Nature that has been untouched by human has a particular kind of magic that can be like looking up into the night sky. It evokes a particular kind of wonder. In addition to appreciating the beauty Betsy saw, though, I had another reaction to this post. But what about the beauty we create? I just returned from Paris, having gorged on human-made beauty in the form of art, architecture, style, design, and use of color. And then there was the beauty of sound, the bells of Notre Dame, and the concert in Sainte-Chapelle. The other day, I heard Eine kleine Nachtmusik, and it took me right back to listening to the sounds of Mozart, the sounds that Mozart crafted, coming out of the musician's instruments while surrounded by all that stained glass. A moment with its own kind of wonder. Then there was the beauty in food, to look at, to smell, and oh, the taste. We humans have ideas, inspirations, and then we create things that weren't there before, or we transformed what was to something altogether different. What we create can be just as inspiring to me as a pristine landscape. Certainly, plenty of what we have created is not beautiful. We seem to be seriously waking up to this now in our impact on the environment and the climate. This is behind the idea that humans are viewed as separate from nature, as counter to nature, nature versus humans, natural versus synthetic. The thing about this that puzzles me is, how can we not be nature? We evolved out of other creatures. We and our consciousness are part of the evolution of the universe, of all of creation. And our creations are also part of all of creation. Nothing that we make, not impressionist paintings or stone cathedrals, not plastic candy wrappers from Halloween or chemicals that pollute our waterways, nothing that we make came here from anywhere or anything else than nature. We and all our trappings are nature. part of all that is. I just have to believe that the point of evolution of life on Earth is not that life, or even human life, goes to hell in a handbasket. I believe we are going to continue to evolve and come up with creative solutions for the problems we've created. Crisis is what draws creativity from us. When things are all going along smoothly, we aren't spurred to act. I'm hearing the word partnership all the time these days. I think it's where we are heading, co-creating the future, humans and nature. Partnership, as I'm learning from Allison, is an act of what she calls human spirit. It's not something that comes out of our largely unconscious survival instinct. In order to be in partnership, we need to be in relationship. My evenings with deep space, Betsy's reports from the wild lands between here and Alaska, and painting the beauty I see in a flower, all this connects me. I am part of nature. I tend to the trash at my mom's office where we paint. I've set up 3 bins: compost, where our used paper towels go, recycle for metal, most plastic and glass, and the garbage, which ends up in the landfill. Not everyone reads the signs or knows where it all goes, so I regularly resort it. And usually when someone sees me, they ask about what goes where. Sorting trash is not my favorite thing to do, but I do it because I care, because I'm compelled to do my part to be in partnership with nature. I really work to not get preachy and righteous about it, but I do want help. I do want others to join me in reusing as much of our resources as we can and putting as little as possible into the waste fields, where still the vast majority of what we discard ends up. Over the weekend, I read a quote attributed to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which has been echoing in me. It included the phrase, "deep faith in the future." As I read it, I realized I have this. I am absolutely faithful in our future. Because there is so much suffering and violence in our world, to stay out of despair, I have to have faith that everything is all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. I love this line from the movie, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Gazing up into deep space before I sleep feeds my faith. It brings me out beyond even the massive human challenge of climate change. It expands time and space out to infinity. And it brings me right into my space, my body, and this moment. I sleep and then wake to do my part, record the beauty I see in paint, and write to you, and sort trash, and love my loved ones. Love, Kara.